To pray as an opening this morning, I would just invite you to close your eyes and take a moment of a few deep breaths. Amen. We enter the story today on the same day of the resurrection, Easter Day, or it could be quite late at night or early the next morning. Just before our story is the recounting of the walk to Emmaus, where two followers were walking and gradually discover that Jesus himself is with them. They are shocked and immediately head back to Jerusalem to tell the other disciples and followers. It is then, while they are gathered with the 11 disciples and other followers, that our story today starts. Right as they are talking about him, Jesus appears and says, "Hi, greetings, blessings, peace be with you." They are so startled that they think they are seeing a ghost. This is Jesus, who they saw publicly murdered several days earlier. Then their community was scattered and traumatized by this horrific event. Even Peter, the rock, had given up his allegiance to Jesus by declaring he didn't know him. They have just experienced a hugely traumatic event and are full of grief, fear, and pain. With all of Jesus appearing and disappearing, I might also think I've seen a ghost, this ghost of the terrible tragedy of a good and kind person being victimized, something that could haunt a person through their lives. Like many who have experienced traumatic events do, the past continuing to burst into their reality as a ghost, bringing the pain of the past into the present reality. Not only was Jesus' death a personal loss, it was the loss of their hopes for the future, their dreams of the beautiful world that could be. Their whole sense of how to make meaning in the world is shattered. In the previous story on the road to Emmaus, the followers say, "We had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." Such a powerful phrase, "we had hoped." We had hoped, and our hope for the future has been dashed. They are left trying to pull the pieces together, wondering how they can construct anything that looks like a life. In today's world, we also face many terrible and difficult things. Many of us have experienced personal traumas in our lives, times or events that cause us great pain and change the way we see the world. And there are larger, more societal things that are hard and difficult to find a way through. The COVID-19 pandemic was and has been an extended time of difficulty and loss for many people. We share this experience, though we all experienced it differently. There are folks who enjoyed the freedom of having normal obligations erased. And there are those who continued to work hard in difficult and extremely stressful workplaces. Most of us lost many connections and missed important life events. By some sources, the pandemic was a complex and collective trauma, an ongoing collection of losses that continued to unfold over time and was often very ambiguous in what would come next. It impacted all of us in some way, though we experienced it differently. Most churches have been impacted by the pandemic, and that is something that continues to stay with us. There have been losses. Most people came back to their churches to find that things had changed. Relating to each other and building connection is different. We've lost people, either to sickness, death, or just choices that don't put church attendance as high as it used to be. At the same time, there are always good and new things happening, things we can be incredibly grateful for. We have all experienced times in our lives when difficult things bring us loss, grief, and shatter our ability to make sense of the world, though, of course, our experiences are different. But we all need care and connection to recover. We need each other, our communities and families, to be with us through difficult times. Here at PMC, I've been thinking and reading a lot about pastoral care lately. How do we strengthen and build caring relationships through times of change and loss? Pastoral care is the term we often use in seminary speak for how we take care of each other in a pastoral or spiritual way. Soul care. But at PMC, we often talk about it as congregational care to help us remember that caring is not just a thing that pastors do. We all do it in many ways. We've been asking questions about how we structure our care, especially with the Stephen ministry in mind, and starting to think about how things can look both now and in the future. One of the things that I think the Stephen ministry has been helpful in teaching us is that congregational care happens in a spectrum of different pieces. If you haven't heard about it, the Stephen ministry is a larger organization that creates materials and a program for churches to follow in caregiving. They have churches enrolled from all over the USA, Canada, and others around the world. We have been using their materials and following the program they created in our PMC Stephen Ministry program. The Stephen Ministry describes their work as just one piece of a larger spectrum of care in churches. This spectrum begins with the informal care that happens among family and friends. Another important element in caregiving is small groups. These groups often do a lot of general care for each other. Then the Stephen Ministry is next in line, a place where people who need a little more personal and regular attention can find caregiving in a relationship with a trained Stephen minister. Currently, for us, as our Stephen ministry is on hiatus, we have care companions who are available to do a similar sort of meeting with people. Pastors are next in the spectrum, often connecting with people in times of great need or more intense or immediate circumstances. Finally, beyond what pastors do are mental health professionals that we can refer people to who need more specific professional psychological help with something in their lives. That is to say, for instance, our church does not have trained social workers, psychologists, or counselors on staff. These are valuable and needed professional services that go beyond what we are capable of, but are important resources that we can and may need to rely on as a community. This model of a spectrum helps me to see that care happens in a lot of ways in churches. As we think about congregational care, strangely enough, I think these ancient stories can speak to how we shape our care today because the stories are so common to human experience. The gospel drama of Jesus' life brings us into the story of a horrible event. We learn to know Jesus and his friends. We hear about his complete betrayal by someone he should have trusted. We see the evils of societal structures that persecute marginalized people. And we see all the characters coping with Jesus' death and finding new life in Jesus' resurrection. The stories show us that life comes after death. Jesus, our God, the victim of a crime, comes back to say, "Take that, evil, I'm back." The disciples, shocked and joyful, come together to figure out what this means and help each other journey through this disorienting time. This passage today speaks to me of three ways that Jesus calls us to care for each other in difficult times. First, we know that caring for each other in difficult times depends on having strong communities. We cannot care for each other if we don't know each other. The story from today happens in a room where many of the disciples and followers are gathered. Through the Gospels, we learn of how Jesus gathered his community. He drew people in to be followers, and it seems like they traveled around with him. He pulled people in from vastly different perspectives. This group became the strong community that surrounded Jesus, and we see them eating together, traveling together, and caring for each other's needs. In today's story, they are coming back together after being somewhat scattered. They are gathered in a house in Jerusalem talking about the appearances of Jesus when Jesus actually appears to them. It is within this strong community that they can care for each other and make sense of what has happened. For us, congregational care is also deeply embedded in community. We will not be able to hear each other's needs if we don't have strong relationships with each other. I see this community building happening all the time at PMC. People are connecting in so many ways. Our small group committee has been working on various avenues and spaces where we can build relationships in smaller groups. Our PMC meetups provide a place to connect and share and connect over shared interests or life experiences. People who sign up for Dine with Nine, which is coming soon, commit to meeting 3 times with the same group over dinner. Our small groups are more long-term and committed groups that meet to provide support for each other over longer periods of time. As a side note, I want to encourage you to make use of all the caregiving resources we have as a community. If you are experiencing something hard, I would give you 2 starting points. 1, if you have a small group, this is a great place to ask for support or get help in thinking about other resources that are available in the church. If you're not in a small group, I'd encourage you to join or create one when we do our small group process in the fall. A 2nd starting point is the PMC pastors. Kurt, Rod, and I are always available to talk with or meet with people on a short-term basis. We know the resources of the church well and can help talk with you about what might fit your needs best. And if you want to peruse what possibilities are there, we've just updated our congregational care page on the PMC website with some of the ways that we care for each other. We are also at PMC committed to trying to make this community strong by helping everyone feel that they can belong. Groups like the Racial Justice Committee, Menno Pride Committee, and Welcome Lunch work at making our community a place feel like, make our community feel a place where historically marginalized groups and those who are new feel like they can belong. All of these groups and other ways that we build community through things like shared worship and ritual, and the list could go on. All of these are important ways we build community and create a strong container for us to support each other through hard times. Just like Jesus' disciples and followers, we are better together. We need strong community and connection in order to be present with each other through hard times. A 2nd thing I see in our Luke story from today is that we all have material needs. In Jesus' appearances and interactions with the disciples, he asks for food. He eats some fish. Whenever we experience difficult losses or changes, we are not just ghosts floating around or humans in shock with no material needs. Our physical bodies go on. And sometimes having help with our material needs can be incredibly important in healing. Now, Mennonites are historically awesome at this piece. I'm talking about meal trains and support groups, financial aid or mutual aid. This church is full of stories of people going to great lengths to provide for each other through difficult times. I would love to find a way to share more of these stories at some point. Interestingly, mutual aid is a currently popular topic in activist circles and more public spaces. And I just want to point out that Mennonites have been doing this in their communities for hundreds of years. How cool. I personally have experienced a lot of care from people in churches. During the time that I went to seminary in Indiana, I attended and interned in a church in Goshen. I became a part of a small group in that church, and this was such an important piece of my life journey at that time. I got to know these people and shared deeply with them about my life. Around the time that Luis and I had gotten engaged, we faced some steep and unexpected expenses. We were both students, and we're making it all right, but we had no extra money beyond what we were living on. Somehow, among our various church connections, both informal church friends and formal church mutual aid, we were able to get support in covering several thousand dollars of expenses and school payments. It felt like a miracle to be able to find the support we needed and receive it at the time we needed it. At the same time, it's also hard to ask for help. Our culture teaches us that we should be able to do everything on our own and pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. During that time, I wondered whether we should have just tried to do it on our own, worked harder, or taken on more debt. So asking for help can feel really difficult. But I also strongly believe that churches are the place where we can care for each other in material ways, and that mutual aid is an amazingly important aspect of how we do community in churches. Church is a place where those who have enough can help those who do not. So that means I had to be willing to ask for myself. And we can develop skills to ask for what we need and develop a community in which it is okay to ask for what we need. Thirdly, Jesus tells his story and says that his followers are witnesses to the things that have happened. We are also called to be witnesses. In caregiving, being a witness to stories of pain and loss can be absolutely important just in itself. There is not always something we can do for people, and instead we just need to be with them, to be present, to listen to the hard thing that just happened, and to walk with someone through a hard time. In my experience, this can be sometimes more challenging to do than material support because it asks us to be present with someone as they experience, recount, or mourn painful things. Most of us have instincts that tell us to try to fix things, that tell us to try to find a positive outcome to help make meaning of the situation or ignore or run away from pain. These are not bad things in themselves, but in the context of a suffering person, they can sometimes add to the pain someone is feeling. What people often long for is to have someone come alongside them and hear their stories. Some of this is that we're not comfortable with some types of emotions. Yet today's biblical story includes so many emotions and feelings. The disciples are startled, terrified as if seeing a ghost, encouraged to feel peace, frightened, doubting, joyful, disbelieving, and wondering. That's a lot of emotions. This story carries us through all of these mixed emotions. I love the phrase, "Yet for all their joy, they were still disbelieving and wondering." In the culture I grew up in, there are certain emotions that are not supposed to be good, or that we shouldn't express publicly. But in my life learning journey, it has been important to recognize that all emotions play a role and are normal and good parts of life. We can express all of the emotions we have, even if they feel difficult or contrast each other. Our psalm from today and many psalms help us to express various emotions to each other and God in prayer, both individually and collectively. As the disciples and Jesus show us, we can be present to and express a range of emotions that are all normal and okay. We can listen, be present, and believe each other through hard times. We can be a witness to each other. As we think about and engage in congregational care together, I love the final verse of the story. "And see, I am sending upon you what my Abba God promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." This refers to the coming of the Holy Spirit on the early Jesus community in Acts of Pentecost. The things that we need to be the community of Christ don't just happen by our own action. We must rely on a higher power, the moving and flowing Holy Spirit that connects us to an interdependent and beautiful creation. During seminary, when I did a summer internship in hospital chaplaincy, this is something I learned very clearly and practically. In the hospital chaplaincy internship setting, you are constantly called into situations that are unknown and unpredictable. You might get a call to visit someone, and there is usually no real way to predict or prepare for what you might encounter when you walk through that person's hospital room door. At first, this made me terrified. I had nothing to count on, no experience or tools. I also felt that the ultimate responsibility fell on me to know and do just the right thing. This feeling of being responsible for things that I could not know or prepare for left me feeling kind of stuck and frozen. I felt the intense need to do something while at the same time having no idea what to do. After muddling my way through a few of these encounters, and with the help of a good group of other interns and supervisors, I realized that I could not be responsible for everything and that I could only try my best to listen and be present and learn. I could be open to the movement of the Holy Spirit to guide me in those moments. And that is a kind of spiritual awakening. All we can do is be present with the gifts and talents and time that we have. The Spirit will come upon us and guide us. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we can care for each other. In our spectrum of congregational care, we can build strong community to hold us together. We can practice mutual aid and support each other practically. We can be present to each other through hard times. We can be witnesses to the risen Christ in each other.